Okay, for an opening passage, actually two passages this morning, let's turn over to Exodus 20, and we'll read verses 2 to 6 for the first passage. Exodus 20, verses 2 to 6. I am Yahweh your Elohim, who has brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other Elohim before me. You shall not make for yourself a graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, Yahweh your Elohim, am a jealous El, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation of those that hate me, and showing mercy to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And for the second passage, let's turn over to Acts chapter 15, and we'll read verses 12 through 21. Acts 15, beginning with verse 12. And all the multitude kept silence, and they listened to Paul and Barnabas, retelling what signs and wonders Yahweh had wrought among the Gentiles through them. And after they held their peace, Jacob answered, saying, Brethren, listen to me. Simeon has told how Yahweh first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After these things I will return, and I will build again the tabernacle of David which has fallen, and I will build again the ruins of it, and I will set it up, that the residue of men may seek after Yahweh. And all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, says Yahweh, who makes these things known from old. Therefore, my judgment is that we do not trouble them that from among the Gentiles turn to Yahweh, but that we write to them, that they abstain from the pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from what is strangled, and from blood. For Moses from generations of old has in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. It is a great privilege that Almighty Yahweh has given us to know him and to know his Son. He has left us with a written record of his mighty acts in history, as well as with guidance on how we should live from day to day. These two opening passages point out something of great importance for all who would call themselves children of the Most High. It is so important, in fact, that as we read in Acts 15, the early apostolic congregation took great pains to emphasize it to the members of the organization at that time. Specifically, the minister strongly spoke out against the pollution of idolatry. In our day, it is not fashionable to speak about idolatry. In fact, in the way that our culture tends to blur the meaning and distinction of words, people often give meanings to words that minimize their original intent. Take, for instance, the use of the word idol. In our culture, it no longer seems to refer to a statue or stone that is given honor and reverence by an ignorant people, or something with any kind of negative connotation, but is used instead in supposedly benign ways, as in referring to a beloved hero, for example. For another example, over the last year, it has been a highlight of our culture to consider who would be the next quote-unquote American idol, and young people frequently refer to a sports figure or other celebrity as being my idol. Can we use these terms, brethren? Can we think in these terms and simply pass them off as something that's harmless? Words mean things, brothers and sisters, and we must never allow ourselves the luxury of becoming so absorbed in the popular culture as to begin to accept this way of thinking. Words mean things. Are we allowed to have an idol? The answer is clear in the sacred scriptures. The title of this message is taken from 1 John 5, verses 18 to 21. Let's turn over there for just a moment. 1 John 5, beginning with verse 18. We know that whoever is begotten of Yahweh sins not, but he that was begotten of Yahweh keeps himself, and the evil one touches him not. We know that we are of Yahweh, and the whole world lies in the evil one. And we know that the Son of Yahweh has come, and has given us an understanding, that we might know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Yahshua the Messiah. This is the true Elohim and eternal life. My little children, guard yourselves from idols. As I said, the title of the message is taken from this last verse, And it is, guard yourselves from idols. Guard yourselves from idols. Brethren, let me be blunt with you. I am offended, deeply offended, by our society's easy acceptance of pagan customs, terminology, and ways. Why should a nation that supposedly was founded and currently stands upon a biblical heritage so easily mix evil with good? But I am also concerned that since Yahweh's Philadelphia Truth Congregation was formed, that we do not lose sight of what makes us different from the world. Brethren, we have always said from the pulpit, it is not our intention to allow liberalism and an anything goes attitude to enter into this congregation. Just because we don't come down on the people with a hammer, but instead do our best to employ a loving and compassionate attitude, do not ever mistake that with us giving permission to let down our guard and for us to do as we please. That is certainly not Yahweh's way, and it is definitely not our way as a congregation, trying our best to do Yahweh's will and to teach others to do so. Time would fail me to describe the many ways in which our society has declined. You see it for yourselves, I don't have to tell you. And especially in the last 60 years or so, according to all accounts. But why should a people be excited, for example, about who the next American Idol should be? What about us? Do we swallow, hook, line, and sinker the elements of popular culture without question? Come on now, lighten up. It's just a word. It's just a little harmless fun. Is it? Don't we know that it is the accumulation over time of the little things that eventually result in the decay and destruction of a society? It's only the cost of a soda a day, say those who want to raise our taxes. And so it goes until we are being taxed out of our homes and property. It doesn't happen overnight, does it? It happens gradually, so that an unsuspecting public doesn't realize that it has occurred until it is too late. It's interesting that when Rudolph Giuliani, the famous former mayor of New York City, when he first came into that position, one of his top priorities was what? Catching murderers? Going after the mob? Well, in a manner of speaking, yes. But actually, one of his top priorities was having his law enforcement officers go after the squeegee men in New York. Do you know who the squeegee men of New York are? Okay. Anyone who's ever driven close to the Holland Tunnel leaving Manhattan knows who the squeegee men are. They're the guys that assault you in your car as you try to drive, coercing you into letting them wash your windows for a price. I've had experience with these guys. They're not pleasant. They're going to wash your windows, and they're going to get some change from you, whether you want it or not. Why would he go after them? Silly, right? Silly for a mayor to do this. Well, maybe not so silly. Simply because if you allow something as trivial as the bullying tactics of the squeegee men to go unpunished, you promote greater crimes from people who become arrogant and brazen. The same thing happened in New York City with turnstile jumpers in the New York City subway system, and also with graffiti artists. He cracked down hard on all of these. And people wondered, what in the world is he doing wasting his time with these? Well, Giuliani made it a point to come down hard on them. Why? Because he knew that the little things matter. If you show that you are willing to go after the little things, those thinking about doing the bigger things will think twice. And go examine the record of crime under Giuliani's watch. It worked. Despite the criticism, it worked. Brethren, and young people especially, do you hear what I'm saying? When you accept little things, it has an overall effect that will ruin your spirituality. Well, I'll just wear shorts that are a little shorter. I'll just wear something a little tighter. Well, they're only bad guys who are getting their heads chopped off and killed in this movie. It's okay. Well, using that word is nothing compared to some other ones that I've heard. Well, so what if the music that I'm listening to uses explicit lyrics? They're just trying to express themselves. Well, it's beef, so who cares if I read that label carefully? Well, bread is bread. Who cares about those little ingredients that I can't even pronounce? And on go the rationalizations until you've gone off the deep end. And all the little things all of a sudden become a much greater problem. Brethren, our small actions will have an overall effect that will drive us away from Yahweh. Listen to what I'm saying. And more importantly, listen to what the scriptures say. 1 Corinthians 10, beginning with verse 6. 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 6. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. This is speaking of Israel, leaving Egypt, of course. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and 23,000 fell in one day. Neither let us make trial of Yahweh, as some of them made trial, and perished by the serpents. Neither murmur, as some of them murmured, and perished by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them by way of example, and they were written for our warning, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him that thinks he stands watch out, lest he fall. There is no temptation taken you, but such as man can bear. But Yahweh is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation make also the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Brothers and sisters, what do we lust for? Why do people serve idols in the first place? They give reverence to what they believe is important in their lives. The ancient people served idols that they believed provided them with blessings of life, health, and especially of children. History is full of examples of the worship of idols related to fertility, complete with disgusting rites of ritual prostitution, and on we could go. In their minds, they were honoring a mighty one or mighty ones that made them fertile and productive in their crops and in their childbearing. But in Yahweh's mind, they were denying him as the only creator of life, and they were stooping to the low level of giving honor to creation rather than to the creator. In our day, people without thinking give honor to all kinds of things that do not deserve that level of attention. People give honor to television, the internet, sports. How many sports widows are there out there who do not see their husbands on the weekends? You know what I'm talking about. They give honor to jobs. These are, for example, the workaholics out there who think of nothing else, including their own families. Of course, there are those who give that kind of honor to money. To some, money is everything, isn't it? To sex, their every waking moment is on whom they can seduce. To power, oh, the politicians and their love of office, at whatever cost, to the reputation and lives of others or to the truth. I'm afraid that if we examine ourselves, we might find some of these same idolatrous practices infiltrating, sometimes without us even knowing it. And if such is the case, and especially as we draw near to the holy days of the seventh month, brethren, as we begin to examine ourselves closely, if such is the case, we each have an obligation to root it out and cast it away from our lives so that only Yahweh and our devotion to him remains. Obviously, I'm not saying don't watch TV, don't go on the internet, don't listen to music, etc. Let's be more mature about this and take everything in its proper context and perspective. But let's also look honestly at ourselves. Is our preoccupation with non-spiritual things at obsession level with us? How often do we pray? How often do we read the Bible? How often do we fast? How often do we find ways to serve others through things like community work or simply making a phone call to find out how the other is doing? Or are we too busy running to the television set to find out if so-and-so is going to make it to the next round? Or will we just die if we don't know how the next episode turns out? Or will Western civilization end as we know it if we don't get to see the opening kickoff or miss that play just before halftime? Brethren, there's a time and place for everything. Let us not lose sight of priorities. Ezekiel 14, beginning with verse 1. Then came certain of the elders of Israel to me and sat before me, and the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, these men have taken their idols into their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak to them and say to them, In this manner, says the sovereign Yahweh, every man of the house of Israel that takes his idols into his heart and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to the prophet, I, Yahweh, will answer him in it according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. The word estranged means separated. Therefore say to the house of Israel, In this manner, says the sovereign Yahweh, return and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that separates himself from me, and takes his idols into his heart, and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and comes to the prophet to inquire for himself of me, I, Yahweh, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man, and will make him an astonishment for a sign and a proverb. And I will cut him off from the middle of my people, and you shall know that I am Yahweh. And if the prophet is deceived and speaks a word, I, Yahweh, have deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand upon him, and will destroy him from the middle of my people Israel, and they shall bear their iniquity. The iniquity of the prophet shall be even as the iniquity of him that seeks to him, that the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither defile themselves any more with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people, and I may be their Elohim, says the sovereign Yahweh. The idols of the heart, brothers and sisters, idols are not just wood and stone. What do we take into our hearts? What do we refuse to give up? 1 Samuel 15, beginning with verse 22. 1 Samuel 15, 22. And Samuel said, has Yahweh as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Yahweh? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as idolatry and teraphim. Because you have rejected the word of Yahweh, he has also rejected you from being king. Let us not think that because we make a little sacrifice, attending Sabbath, feast day services, reading a few labels, that Yahweh will overlook everything else in our lives. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as idolatry and teraphim. Yahweh doesn't make the distinction. Brethren, if we are stubborn in holding on to those things that do not benefit us while ignoring spiritual matters, we are guilty of idolatry. Galatians 5. What happens to those who are guilty of idolatry? Galatians 5, beginning with verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, wraths, factions, divisions, partyings, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I forewarned you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. They who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. Do we understand what we are reading, my beloved brethren? Those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. It's serious. For a final passage of warning and counsel, let's turn to Colossians 3, and we'll read verses 1 to 11. Colossians 3, beginning with verse 1. If then you were raised together with the Messiah, seek the things that are above, where the Messiah is, seated on the right hand of Yahweh. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth. Good advice for all of us. For you died, and your life is hid with the Messiah in Yahweh. When the Messiah, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall you also be manifested with him in glory. Great things await us, brothers and sisters. Great things await us. Are we strong enough to do what it takes in order to achieve that someday? Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Not an easy thing to do sometimes, but it must be done. Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Remember that idolatry begins by you coveting something, by you looking at something and saying, I got to have this thing. It's all related. It's that same stubbornness that we read about in 1 Samuel, that stubbornness to have something that you don't need to have, or perhaps don't need to have it in as much of a quantity as you desire it, so that it becomes something obsessive in your life over and above your spiritual obligations. For which things' sake the wrath of Yahweh comes upon the sons of disobedience, in which you also once walked when you lived in these things, but now do you also put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking out of your mouth. Do not speak falsely to each other, having put off the old man with his doings, and having put on the new man, that is being renewed to knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there cannot be Greek or Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bondman, freeman, but the Messiah is all and in all. We all have to be the same. We all adopt the culture of spirituality, brothers and sisters. Let us put to death our members which are upon the earth, thinking on worldly things, and instead put on the new man, being renewed to knowledge after the image of the one who created us. In doing so, we will show Yahweh that we are serious about serving him, and that we are doing our very best to avoid idolatry and to render to him only the reverence and worship that is his due. May Yahweh bless us all on the Sabbath day. Thank you.